Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:46 on a Thursday evening in Lansing. This is 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us. Well, it was Jack Nicholson who declared in the film A Few Good Men, "You can't handle the truth." Well, even if that is true, a new study out of the University of Michigan finds that when it comes to delivering the truth, especially the most sensitive and uncomfortable kind, texting seems to be the most effective medium. To talk about his research, I'm joined by Fred Conrad, a cognitive psychologist and director of the program in survey methodology at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Fred, thank you so much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
You know, it seems that young people nowadays exclusively text. I often see them with their heads down, rarely with a phone against their ear. Did your study consider that factor?
Well, we did look at the age of participants to see if the impact of texting versus speaking was different by age. And in fact, there was no difference due to age. So there seemed to be an increase in what we call candor, or socially undesirable reporting things that aren't so attractive about yourself in text versus voice interviews, regardless of age.
So what exactly in detail did you discover in the study? Just how much more frank are people when they're texting versus talking?
Well, I'm looking at some data now. When they texted, we asked, one of the questions was, and this is of all age groups, how many sex partners have you had in the last 12 months? And respondents reported about 0.5 more sex partners in the last 12 months. So those who were interviewed by voice were around one, and those who were interviewed by text were between 1.6. So there's that, and then we asked the question about exercise. And the issue is, in a typical week, how often do you exercise? And the issue was, who was willing to say they exercise less than one time per week? And by text, there were about it varied between about 15% to 20% more who were willing to say they exercise just less than once a week when answering by text.
Is it clear, though, that people are being more truthful then when they're texting?
It is not true. We can't be sure in the sense that we don't have any kind of independent validation. But there's a long tradition in this kind of research in which when people give less desirable information about themselves, it's assumed to be true. So it is possible that it's not, but there are a number of studies, not ours, that see this kind of effect and can verify it with records. And so the assumption that we're making seems to hold up, that more undesirable behavior is more truthful behavior.
Is it clear why that's the case? Do people basically enjoy the fact that they don't have to deal with the immediate, instant feedback of saying something that might be unpleasant?
Well, this is one of our hypotheses, that there's so little information from the person you're talking to, so that, you can't see them rolling their eyes, or you can't hear them, laughing or gasping. So it's really quite close to an anonymous or self-administered kind of task. And in fact, we did this. We compared texting answers when texting to a human interviewer versus texting to a computer, thinking that, well, if you're texting to a human interviewer, there might be some reduction in this effect. And there was nothing. It's just texting. It's not whether there's a human or computer on the other end.
I'm talking to Fred Conrad, a cognitive psychologist and director of the program in survey methodology at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Now, one thing that apparently the study found is that people were less likely to engage in satisficing. Is that what it's called? What is that exactly?
Yeah. Now, this is something that people like me who do surveys are quite concerned with. It has to do with the kind of how much thought people put into the answers they give you on surveys. And I think most people have had the experience of you're asked to do a survey and you consent, but you really just want to get through it as quickly as possible. And that tends to lead to kind of shortcuts, which is what this term satisficing refers to in the survey context. So what we saw was we asked people questions that required a numerical answer, like, let me find an example here. How many songs do you have on your iPhone? And what we used as an indication of taking these shortcuts was if the answers were rounded numbers, you know, divisible by 10, the idea being that that probably reflects less thought than if you actually counted up all the songs on your iPhone or did the work necessary to retrieve that information. Or we asked them, how many, during the last month, how many movies did you watch in any medium? And in both of these cases and a number of other questions, there were fewer answers that were divisible by 10, fewer answers with rounded numbers when people texted their answers versus when they spoke their answers, again, to either a human or a computer interviewer.
They were giving an answer then that was more potentially accurate, more direct, without any real thought to it, you're saying?
It was right. The unrounded numbers, the unrounded answers, like saying 17 instead of 20, probably reflect a more thorough, accurate process in which they actually retrieve and count up the number of instances of whatever you're asking them about, than just giving a top of the head estimate like 20. And if you think about it, if it's a top of the head estimate, you'd be pretty unlikely to say 17. And so,
what about the permanency of text? I mean, you're sending a message that, that can be shared with others. So, you know, so they can walk over to their friends and say, "Hey, look what he wrote to me." Does that play a factor in the way people are responding in text form?
Well, this is a great question. I mean, our intuition was that this would discourage, going back to the first topic of more disclosure of sensitive information, that the permanence of text messages would discourage disclosure of sensitive information for exactly the reasons you mentioned. But the opposite seems to be true. So despite the fact that there is a permanent record as opposed to a fleeting spoken record when answering in a voice interview, people seem to be, again, more honest when it comes to these sensitive questions in text. And it's not only the permanent record on their cell phone, but for iPhone users anyway, there's a record on their hard drive when they sync their phones, and there are records in cell towers. So it's actually, in a lot of ways, a less secure way to communicate. And yet there seems to be something about, and people are aware of this to some degree, we suspect, but there seems to be something about being engaged in a conversation, an interview in our case, when texting, that just leads people to be more disclosive, to give more personal information to a relative stranger.
What about the nature of texting as a form of communication? I mean, there's so little that can come across. I mean, God forbid you try to be sarcastic, that might be the last message you get to send. How do you view in your research the nature of that form of communication? Is it really far more rudimentary and not nearly as expressive as the verbal communication that many of us older folks are used to?
Well, so our research doesn't directly address that. We're just asking them these survey questions and looking at their answers, which are going to be numbers or, categories like, strongly agree. But it certainly seems to be the case that that the communication is kind of more truncated and abbreviated. And this is probably part of why older people are less attracted to it, because this is just not a mode of communication that sort of fits with their lives. So as I said, our work doesn't directly address this, but it does seem as though the sort of abbreviated way in which people communicate by text and kind of informal way in which they communicate by text could be part of the reason that they seem to be more willing to provide information that they're not so proud of. This is kind of an informal chat rather than something that's going to be recorded for posterity.
In terms of research, are you looking into other areas of texting and the way people are expressing themselves through text, or not really?
Well, we might have to, given the response that the study has produced. But we are survey researchers, and we try to figure out ways to do better surveys. So we're actually focusing on how to take this idea of texting as a survey mode a little further, so that, for example, what happens if you give people a choice of the way in which they answer a survey, which is quite possible to do on an iPhone or any smartphone? Will they, for example, pick a mode of answering that is appropriate to the setting? So, if they're in a noisy restaurant, will they pick text where the noise doesn't matter? If they're outside and there's a lot of sun, will they pick a spoken mode, so they don't have to be able to read what's on the screen? And we're also interested in further exploring differences among age groups and finding out, just even though, as I said earlier, we don't see much in the way of an effect of age, looking more closely at whether there are perhaps heavy texters are more likely to produce, to show this phenomenon we've observed or not, and try to find out just for whom it's the case and under what circumstances.
Well, one thing,
a long way of saying, go ahead.
I was going to say, ultimately, I'm guessing with young people, no matter what environment they're in, they would prefer to send you a text rather than pick up the phone and call Fred Conrad, a cognitive psychologist, director of the Program and Survey Methodology at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Fred, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks again for the invitation, Michael.
And we are coming right back to wrap things up. Stick around. We'll chat a little bit, me and Jesse Wiza. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.